Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. I'm your host, Steve K9 Kim, and joining me, as always, from the beautiful city of San Francisco, Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya. Gabe, it's big fight week. Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah. pardon me. I've got a bit of a cold. The excitement is palpable, Steve. Pacquiao, Bradley, three. The vibes can be felt all the way up here. Not really. It's about all the excitement of Andre Ward doing stand-up. We got a bevy of stuff to get to this week, to steal your word. Before we do, just to remind everybody, the only guy that has more shows than Steve Kim is Dave Duenas on his Leave It in the Ring network. We've got the next round today. We've also got Felipe Leon shows on Tuesday. Plenty of shows all through the week. Leave It in the Ring on Wednesdays. And then there's a recap show called Around the Ring that is available on the Leave It in the Ring radio network. So I think Steve's got 10 shows. We're almost to you at this point.
347-215-7598 if you want to call in. If you want to send in a question or comment via Twitter, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and Gabriel_Montoya. We are here for at least 90 minutes, going all the way up to 8:30 Eastern time, or 2 hours depending on your participation. But let's get started with round number one. It is perhaps the finale of what has been a Hall of Fame career on HBO pay-per-view from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, a welterweight tussle between Manny Pacquiao and Tim Bradley, and your pay-per-view undercard for the WBO super middleweight title, Arthur Abraham takes on Gilberto Ramirez, then featherweight tussle, Oscar Valdez takes on Evgeny Gradovich, and a lightweight battle, Jose Ramirez takes on Manuel Perez. Gabe, Pacquiao, Bradley. It says here that Pacquiao has won the large majority, maybe 18 of the 24 previous rounds. But you know what, Gabe? I think justice, if not being served, I think it'll swing the other direction. I think they're going to get it right this time, and I think Tim Bradley will rightfully earn a clear-cut decision victory over Manny Pacquiao. Just the vibe that I'm getting at the gym and talking to certain people that saw the sparring, I'm hearing some alarming things about Manny. People just don't think he looks all that good. And with that, I think Bradley, and I hate to use this cliche, I do think he is the hungrier fighter. I think this fight means more to him. I think he's the one that comes in with the sense of urgency. And with that, I think he wins on Saturday night.
There's the word, I think, urgency. You know, Tim, he's always had a chip on his shoulder. I think, you know, and then going back to the Provodnikov fight, it was like he traded that one in for an even bigger chip and was like, all right, I'm going to try to put on an action fight and really show you guys what I'm made of. And I think, yeah, I think in this fight, the difference between these two guys is going to be who wants it more, who's going to be more active. But watching the two fights recently, you know, I did a story for the program, and I wanted to really refresh my memory. Tim really was taken apart in the second fight. I mean, he looked like he had no game plan. Manny seemed to really undo him. He was throwing big shots, wide shots. He looked kind of awkward and just lost in there. And now he's got a new trainer in Teddy Atlas. And, you know, if you think you wear dirty socks, then it's going to make you a better boxer than it is. And if you think Teddy Atlas and his antics are going to make you a better fighter, then that maybe that's true. I just wonder how much he can really change. Is Tim fooling himself and thinking that he did better than he did against Rios? I mean, he shellacked him, but it was Brandon Rios who was, like, way overweight, you know, and retired soon after, then came back because he was fat. I'm actually leaning towards Pacquiao, but that – because I've never been impressed with him in sparring. I've seen him in sparring, and it's like, this is the guy? He's a guy that brings it on the night. And I think that knowing that it's his last fight, So Lance Pugmire tweeted out there was a finality to that final prayer as they broke camp and head out to Vegas. I just think Manny's going to bring it one last time. And maybe I'm, you know, reaching and romanticizing the past and wanting to be the present. But I just think he's got the straighter punches, holds it together at the top level. And if it's not working, and Teddy Atlas is, you know, screaming at him, and that's not what they're planned, is not working, is it going to fall apart? So I'm going with Pacquiao by decision.
You know, as much as has been made about the motivational tactics and the rhetoric, the ring rhetoric of Teddy Atlas, I've talked to him at length in the past. He's actually very strategic in a lot of ways, though. I know he likes to be very theatrical the night of the fight. But coming into it, I'm telling you, nobody talks more about punching at certain angles and then using escape routes and then not punching at
right.
certain times and then also shortening your combination length as to not get greedy. I get the sense that the plan from Bradley will be to box, slow down the tempo, and do a lot of what Marquez and Mayweather were able to do. Now, again, maybe Bradley's really not that guy. Bradley is an experienced guy, very accomplished, already has 24 rounds in with Manny Pacquiao. He understands he's not going to be able to score a knockout, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bradley has some direction here. And listen, say what you want. Is he drinking the Kool-Aid? Maybe. But you know what? The first part of having a trainer is getting someone you believe in. I get the sense with Teddy Atlas, he really has that guy. Also, one thing that I heard, and this is very interesting to me, I was told over the weekend by more than one source, Gabe, most of the heavy money is being bet on Tim Bradley. I've always said the real experts are the wise guys.
Yeah, that I saw that. I read both your columns today. I saw that. You printed that. That gives me a little pause, you know, in the pick. And I mean, honestly, you know, Manny's heading out the door, right? You know, and Bradley's going, look, I want to look good. I want to be on another pay-per-view or in a big fight. I am the guy. I think he still, to me, has the best. If he wins this fight, he's the guy that should be, if Mayweather comes back, that people should be talking about and championing as the guy that should take on Floyd, because he's got the resume. He's never shied away from a fight, even one that he could avoid, like with Provodnikov. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Teddy's not just a cheerleader. He's not just an announcer. I know Freddie's kind of taking those shots at him. He's a well-schooled trainer who apprenticed with one of the greatest of all time in Customato. He knows the game. And you know, Tim has the tools and he has the talent. Altering him like that, you know, I am curious about it. For me, I'm just wondering, what do I put stock in more? Jesse Vargas almost knocking him out or him beating up a out-of-shape Brandon Rios?
Gabe, last week they showed on HBO this special called Legacy on the Line, and it was a half-hour special all on one guy.
Yeah.
It was not Manny Pacquiao. It was Tim Bradley. I was like, huh. I remember watching it at my friend's house going, wow, there's a lot of Tim Bradley here. You know, 10 minutes go by, 15, 20. I'm like, yeah, okay, boy, there's not much room for Pacquiao. Then the credits start rolling. Doesn't it seem to you that they are trying to set the stage of, Manny, nice knowing you. Here's your gold watch. Good luck in your election, but we're moving on.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that. Plus, I mean, you know, he went from the smiley guy that knocks people out that everybody loves. He's on Jimmy Kimmel, and, you know, Jimmy walked out with him. And then he lost the big fight. And, it you know, they can say it was the gay comments or whatever, and Jimmy Kimmel, you know, wasn't going to have Pacquiao on. But that's how when you don't win, that's how you know who your friends are, is the people that are still there. Jimmy's never been Manny's friend. You know, and I wonder if that weighs on him. But also, you know, it comes down to this, like, hypothetical of they say to Manny, you want to fight Crawford for your last fight? No. Tim Bradley, you want to fight Crawford? I imagine Tim is going to be like, all day. Let him move up. Let's do this. You know, he wants to make a name? You know, I'll baptize him. Tim is a guy that has some fights in him that you can match make and do some things past that torch that they've built up by moving him to this platform on pay-per-view against Pacquiao in the first place. Manny, yeah, you're right. He's thinking about other things, and maybe it'll cost him.
Gabe, if Manny Pacquiao wins this fight and looks fairly good at age 37, he still has, I believe, two fights left on his top-ranked contract. You think he really retires?
No. No, but also, you know, it depends, though. I mean, if he wins his election, maybe he does, you know? I mean, that's just a whole other level. He's going to be a congressman, and apparently, you know, it's going to be just so demanding that he's just got to do that job and only that. So, you know, I think it also depends on that. I mean, what if he lights up Tim Bradley and knocks him out? Would you want to come back and try to top that? Or would you be like, I'm good. I knocked out that guy. I won the best of that trilogy. You know, when it all said and done, you know, I'm the most exciting fighter of my era. Now I'm going to go, you know, run my country. So it does kind of depend on how he looks. But I don't know. And my initial thing is no, because no fighter ever retires. But honestly, you know, just saying that out loud, actually, you'd probably say, yeah. I mean, if he's congressman and he knocks Bradley out, we won't see Manny in the ring again.
I'll say this. The public has certainly moved on. Tickets are readily available. I believe that they will be dropping like an anvil from the sky this throughout the week. Pay-per-view numbers, it would stun me if this thing even hit a half million. The bottom line is very simple.
No way.
I think on May 2nd, 2015, with what Manny pulled, and he was a large part of it, at least 50%, the backlash that Mayweather got for his farewell fight against Berto, well, now Manny Pacquiao feels the apathy, and it's not just enough for him to shrug his one good shoulder and say, oops, did I do that? It doesn't work. I mean, to whom much is given, much is expected. And you could have done the right thing, delayed the fight better, give a better, honest effort. You didn't. And Manny, now you're feeling the public's reaction.
Yeah, I don't disagree. What do you think about this, the Grove, you know, banning Manny and not letting him in there because they don't believe in what he said? I think it's a little hypocritical to be intolerant of somebody who's not tolerant. But that's just
I find that interesting. All I can say is that the shops of Montebello would more than welcome in Manny Pacquiao and the economic stimulus that he provides for every good shopping center. Here's what I thought was funny yesterday. I guess Manny Pacquiao nearly got assaulted or some angry guy tried to get at him after lunch at this Asian eatery yesterday.
What is that guy thinking?
Yeah.
What is that guy thinking? I don't know if that's – is that the gay mafia? Is that what they mean when they say that? They'll just attack you at a restaurant? Or, I don't know. Maybe it was a Donald Trump supporter. You know, it's weird, though, to me. It's, you know, the guy, they're saying it's hurting people's feelings, but, you know, this is his religious belief, and it's also he's exercising his free speech rights, and those are two pillars of who we are as a country. It makes no sense to me to say, you know, but that's, you know, I guess a lesson for another time. But I think what it does show is that the bloom is off the rose and that he's not going to get a pass from anybody for his celebrity.
My sources tell me as that guy was being dragged off away from Manny Pacquiao, he was screaming at the top of his lungs, you owe me $110 plus cable service charges. But anyway, 347-215-7598. Gabe, the undercard, the no Trump card, as Bob Arum has dubbed it. Which fight are you looking forward to the most?
That's a good question. I like the Valdez Gradovich, but I'm very curious about Gilberto Ramirez and Arthur Abraham. I think, you know, this kid's got the whole package. He's got good balance. He can move going backwards a little bit, although he's best when he's coming forward. Nice jab, good looking guy. Seems to just be just very promotable. And if he's able to do what he's supposed to do against Arthur Abraham, it looks, you know, he packs a punch. He's super slow. He's the guy that just kind of is the ultimate tortoise versus the hare kind of strategy guy. I don't know if this kid's the real deal, and we're certainly going to find out if he is in this fight. So I think this is the one I'm looking forward to the most, but I always love watching Oscar Valdez operate.
Yeah, I think Gradovich's style, the fact that he won't have to look for him and he's going to give him opportunities to punch and counterpunch with him, I think eventually is going to make Oscar Valdez look very good, and we'll see. How real is Gilberto Ramirez after 33 fights? Can he do enough to beat Arthur Abraham and win the WBO super middleweight title? We Shall See. That is this Saturday on HBO pay-per-view. Game this past Friday night from the Armory in Washington, D.C. on Spike. Adrian Broner scores, as expected, a ninth-round TKO over Ashley Theophane. And then in legal news, I guess he turned himself in today to the authorities in Ohio. Gabe, did you get a big a kick out of this soap opera between him and Floyd Mayweather? They are going to push this for all it's worth.
It was like a want-to-get-away commercial, you know? It was he tries to call out Floyd. He's got to see me, and everyone just starts laughing. And I felt bad for him, you know? But at the same time, the guy brought it on himself. You know, when you're a braggart, you know, even like during the fight, he's fighting Theophane, who's, you can just look at the size of them and see that there was a huge size difference. And this was just a preordained, you know, victory for the guy. But he's fighting Theophane, and he's looking away from him while he's kind of strolling away in the middle of the fight, showing the guy no respect. So I kind of like seeing a guy like that get his comeuppance, you know. And Floyd doesn't have to see anybody. And Floyd's MO, really, within just his career, is to let any sort of rival fight all the other people. So I expect you know, Broner to go through a gauntlet before he would ever get, and maybe run over by a car before Floyd would fight him.
Also, young prospects Robert Easter and Gervonta Davis notch victories. Gabe, I've said this before. I know Davis is a guy being anointed by Floyd Mayweather. I think Robert Easter has a much higher ceiling as a fighter.
Yeah, I see like a counter shot knockout loss in his future the way he fights Gervonta Davis or Gervonta Davis. He's just way too eager, you know. Like he always say, you know, the John Wooden quote, be quick, but don't be in a hurry. Dude is just hurrying through the fights. And that aggressive style will be, you know, he's not very deep into his career. I mean, his first few are for him. You know, it's what, 15-0, 14 knockouts, something like that. That tells you who he's been facing. He needs to step up in competition so we can see him. But a lot of mistakes. His punching frame is kind of wide open. His rear hand is away from his face when he's throwing. He kind of squares up when he's trying to switch stances and be crafty. I see a lot of holes in Davis's game. Robert Easter, on the other hand, man, I really enjoyed this. You know, we watched this at the theater, and it was like, you can get theater people to watch some fights. You know the guy's doing something right. Good action fight. I thought it was the right level of opposition where you're going to get some experience out of him. And that right hand, my goodness, it was easily a KO of the year candidate. That was brutal.
The one thing that is alarming about Gervonta Davis as a southpaw boy, he's awfully hittable. And the times that I've seen him, being matched with slow Mexicans. So that's some very favorable matchups. Still not coming out of there unscathed. That's
didn't
the
like
thing.
The showboating either. You know, after the knockdown and you're kind of gyrating your hips in front of a guy's face, you know, this is a gentleman's sport. And I understand showmanship building up to a fight. In the ring, you know, I don't know. That stuff, for me, when I was taking notes watching the fight, I just wrote, lost me for as a fan, like, for
your
career.
And by the way, you're facing cannon fodder, okay?
Right.
You're supposed to do that, as Chris Rock would say. And finally, from jolly old England this Saturday afternoon on Showtime, the IBF heavyweight title is on the line. Charles Martin takes on Anthony Joshua. And, Gabe, before we get started with our in-depth analysis, Chad Hogan asked, when was the last time a heavyweight, quote-unquote, title was competed by worse opponents than this Saturday?
Wow.
You know, I'll be honest with you. As I look back at all those 1980 Don King forgettables that literally traded the heavyweight title every 6-7 months, those guys were accomplished amateurs. They were pretty good fighters in their own right. They were hopelessly undisciplined, and then their spirit was broken by Tyson eventually, or their dealings with Don King. But, you know, in general, they were pretty good fighters. You're right. Charles Martin, I think, is just a guy. Anthony Joshua, I think, is promising but very green. It does say to you something about the state of the business that this is actually – a world title fight.
Well, Matthew Ritchie actually had the answer to the question. When Charles Martin beat Tsar Glasgow.
Pa-da-pa.
I can't disagree. I mean, I thought I was watching the Showtime lead-in, the little two-minute commercial. Very deceptive with the editing. It's like, you know, they show
aren't
Glasgow
they always?
Falling.
Aren't they always?
But it's like, we all know that a punch didn't land, and they kind of cut it to make it look like a punch did land, and then the guy got injured, thus making him the heavyweight title holder, which, he, you know, nothing landed. This is the weirdest title reign ever. You know, I don't know anything about Martin. We still don't. We know he can beat the, you know, lower-tier fighters. We know that he doesn't really have an authoritative jab. He keeps his hands pretty low, and I think that could be a problem against a guy like Anthony Joshua, who, you know, fights in a classic style, hands are up, you know, guarding that chin. We found out some things about his chin, that he can be wobbled a little bit, can be had, but I don't know if Charles Martin's the guy to do that. What I find most interesting about this is just the sizes, you know, 6'6 for Joshua, 6'5 for Martin. He has an 80-inch reach, and Joshua has an 82-inch reach. And, you know, Joshua is, what, 15-0, 15 KOs. Martin is 23-0 with 21 KOs, which really says everything about their records. They haven't faced all that great of opposition. I think the one great win here, or the, you know, the better win here, is probably Dillian White taking him out the way he did, and passing a bit of a test, and beating Kevin Johnson, you know, for Joshua. With Martin, there's just no such thing. So I've got to go with Joshua here, but it's a tough one, depending, you know, just looking at their experience level.
I like Joshua, mid-round knockout. And I've thought this from the beginning. Given what Anthony Joshua means to the business and to matchroom boxing, Eddie Hearn would not have pulled the trigger on this fight unless he believed, or his boxing brain trust believed, that we're going to win this fight, that we are at least 80-20 in our favor coming into this fight. Charles Martin, he's a southpaw, but he's not Pernell Whitaker. And I know the dimensions look similar. Joshua just looks like a bigger, stronger physical specimen. Also on this card, IBF featherweight titleist Lee Selby takes on Eric Hunter. And I think Hunter's athleticism and skill level, I think it's going to give Selby some difficulties here. 347-215-7598. Start getting your tweets in if you want to send us a question, comment, or critique. We have one here from Joshua. Let me get that to you right now. We're for at least 90 minutes, going all the way up to 2 hours. Joshua asks, Crawford, Postol, and Kovalev latest. I am hearing, Gabe, that the side of Victor Postol, they believe they have a deal for July 23rd. As of yet, it has not been announced that Crawford has signed on. So it takes two to tango, but you do have Victor Postol on board. And as for Kovalev, I don't think anything has changed. They are going to fight in June in Russia. The big question is, Gabe, will Andre Ward actually go through with another fight?
Yeah, that's, you know, and he's more fragile than... you know, he's a pretty fragile guy, it seems. You know, he can get injured in training camp, or things can happen. So, you know, I wonder if he's going to do that, or maybe he feels like he still has rust he needs to shake off. I thought it was a good set of rounds there for him in his last fight, and, you know, I think it's time to get the fight going. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Andre's never been opposed to sitting out for a while, so.
And here's one from Corey Rapaz, adding to this heavyweight discussion. Henry Akinwande has 3 WBO title fights in the mid-90s. All were worse. Again, if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Gabe, let's get to the phone lines.
All right, then. Let's see. 812, you're live on the next round.
Hey, Gabe. Hey, Steve. How you doing? This is Joe from Indiana.
Joe, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, I want to talk. What do you think our opponent, since Broner's moving up to 147, should he take some easy fights to get familiar at that weight, or should he right away go after Danny Garcia? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, he's got to deal with the jail first, or, you know, with his legal issues. You know, I mean, I imagine he'll get bailed out and go through that process. But for me, you know, I don't know. That's a good question, whether or not you get your feet wet or not. I imagine that they're going to put him in for his debut there, you know, or his return there. Put him in a little bit soft. That's what they do. But I personally, I really like the Danny Garcia fight. I think Broner Garcia could be all action.
Okay. And, guys, going for the Bradley Pacquiao fight, I'm really rooting for Bradley. I feel like he hasn't gotten a fair shake, you know, especially after watching that documentary they did on him, like when he said he wanted just to give up after that first fight, and then to see him bounce back now, if he can just get this big win over Manny and then move on, close that chapter and start a new chapter with Teddy and go after some bigger fights. So I'm predicting Bradley to win by knockout. I'm hoping he can get the knockout.
Knockout? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
I just see it. I think it's going to be between the 8th and 10th round. That's just it's a real bold prediction. Freddie kills me because he's always saying that Manny's going to knock him out, but he's been saying that for the last 5 years for his opponents. And I'm going for the Joshua and Martin. I predict Josh. I think Joshua's going to come out and look impressive. I think he's going to make a big statement. I got 5th round knockout for Joshua. And, guys, one more thing. I was at a used bookstore yesterday, and I came across The Rise and Fall of Alexis Arguello. I can't wait to read this book, man. It was like $3. So I was like, that made my day. Have you guys ever read that book yet?
No,
I haven't.
It's a good deal, though, $3.
Yeah, I can't beat that. So I'm really excited about that. But, yeah, guys, great show. And those are just my predictions. And, you know, I'll be tuning in.
All right. Thank you very much. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. And let us know, are you buying Pacquiao Bradley?
Yeah. I don't know about that. 787, you're live on the next round.
Hey, guys.
Oh,
hey,
my God.
Yeah.
This is a man that needs no introduction.
Hey, guys. I want to talk a little bit about Verdejo. He's supposed to fight next week. The guy he was supposed to fight pull out, and he has an opponent, and I am not sure that Top Rank will announce his opponent until Monday because they got the Pacquiao Bradley fight. But I have to be honest with you guys. After the Silva fight, for the first time, there is some backlash. Backlash that, yeah, some people are not that convinced. He didn't look that good. He won, but that wasn't impressive. And I think that for the first time, I know he is a unified fight, and he's not going to fight anyone good. But if he doesn't fight Jose Felix in June, people are starting to wonder.
So, Javier, because I know for a fact, because I know the Jose Felix people very well, if he fights Jose Felix in June, would that satisfy the masses?
Yeah, I believe that, because I believe that's the guy that, first of all, now that it seems or it looks that it could be Rocky Martinez versus Lomachenko, no disrespect to Lomachenko, I believe that if you are going to properly promote that fight, you promote the Felix Verdejo fight at the main event. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Rocky is the title holder, but let's be honest, Rocky Martinez, I love the guy. Been to a lot of his fights. He's a work hard guy, but he's really in trouble against Lomachenko, in my opinion. And if we fight Felix, then people can say, okay, he's on the right track for the title fight. But if he doesn't, then people are going to say, because the problem is, I know he's still young, but the problem is he has been built at the next Trinidad since day one. So people are starting to say, hey, Cotto fought Bassano in 14 fights. And this guy already has 20. And we all know the Cotto story. He was never going to be like Trinidad because everybody hated him in Puerto Rico. But you have to put it with someone with a pulse. If you don't, people are going to start turning on him, I believe.
Javier, quick question. Is it as obvious as it seems that Jose Pedraza is not really the happiest camper with this promotional situation?
To be quite honest with you, it's not only Pedraza. There seems to be a lot of Puerto Rican fighters that at one point or another thought that Heyman was the solution. And suddenly they are like, well, what the hell did we do?
Huh.
I've been told. I can't
so they're
tell
not
you
saying gracias to Al? Huh.
Well, I can tell you there are at least three that are wondering, what the hell did I do? So there can be a Puerto Rican revolution without if they don't. If they don't get their act together, that's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to say who it is, but maybe I will write you on Twitter and tell you who they are. But believe me, there are at least three of them. There are at least three of them. And one more thing, guys, let's not be very critical of the Martin fight. I once paid for Fresno Kendo, John Reese.
No. Wow, you deserve a commendation or a stint at an insane asylum.
And I'm Puerto Rican, yeah, but I was paying for permission to that. So let's not be a really critical marching, Joshua, please.
Jeez, wow.
Guys, now that I mention it, what do you think if Rocky Martinez doesn't fight in Lomachenko?
What are the chances? I think the chances are pretty good from what I'm told. And I think for that date, June 11th, given the fact it is the day before the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York, I think it makes a lot of sense.
But do you agree with me that if Felix fights Verdejo, that should be the main event?
Yeah, you know what? Lomachenko's a very good champion. And it is Rocky Martinez defending his title. I think they're going to make Verdejo the co-feature. Whether he should or not, again, sometimes it doesn't even matter.
And, guys, I know there is a lot of people picking Bradley, but I saw the first two fights. I know Pacquiao is not the same fighter anymore. He's just coming out of injury. But I just don't see how Bradley is going to beat him.
Okay, you are on the record. Javier, thank you for the call.
All right. Let me ask you this, Steve. Broner Malignaggi 2, does that
no.
mean anything for you?
No. See what that land dump is, that landfill with all that garbage in it? Throw that right with the rest of it.
Just in the middle of the Pacific, just the trash.
I mean, first of all, I thought it was pretty clear who won the first fight. Broner.
Right.
And second of all, didn't Malignaggi make a teary-eyed retirement at least twice?
He might have been retiring an outfit, though.
Oh, okay.
His career.
Yeah, but no thanks. Oh, here's a tweet from the president who says that he has just fired the chief of staff for this scheduled mix-up. He says, if Bradley gets the W on Saturday, will that cement his Hall of Fame status? Now, as someone who says he's already in, I would say absolutely it does.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, yeah, he's. I think he's already on his way, like I said. But beating Pacquiao 2 out of 3, well, you know.
All right, 1 out of 3. Well, let's be honest. Let's not do revisionist history here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was actually got clearer and clearer. I've just forgotten how undone he seemed in the rematch. It was pretty shocking to me that Bradley, an intelligent guy, he just seemed to have no gas in the tank halfway through or maybe three quarters through and just kind of out of ideas. I really wonder how well they can put him back together for this fight, especially if the speed's getting to him early. But we'll see. We've still got a ton of calls. I can head right back to it. 323, you are live on the next round. 323.
Hello. Hello, guys. This is Dave Domelman.
What's up, man?
Hello, guys. How are you guys doing? Hope you guys are doing well. I had a question. When it comes to how is it that the WBC didn't allow a mandatory? How is it that they're forcing the mandatory on Deontay Wilder, but Al was able to escape it himself with the unification fight? When it comes to the IBF, when I thought that the rules were that you a mandatory always would let how does that roll?
Well, I think it's very simple. Eddie Hearn put up a lot of money for Anthony Joshua to take the title from Martin. And that's what happened. I just think it had to do with money. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at it. Yeah, sure, you could do some defenses and make some cash.
but he's got a pretty good opponent to do this. And on some level, you got to. If I'm Martin, I'm looking at that last fight, going, okay, you know, I won't go into a firefight, but maybe I can get him at long range. And if I can get to that chin and hurt him, maybe I got a shot here. And you know, if you take San Anthony Joshua, all of a sudden now he is somebody in the division.
Interesting.
Excellent choice. I mean, it's just, you know, it's chess, and there's no real path to the top that is tried and true. You there's many different ways to get there. So it makes sense to me why he did this.
All right, guys. Well, that's the only question I have right now. Well, thank you, guys. Great show.
All right. Thank you very much. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
530. You're live on the next round.
Hello, guys. It's Ringside Robert here.
Robbie, welcome aboard.
First of all, to answer your question, Steve, yes, I'm buying Bradley Pacquiao.
Okay.
I have always been a Manny supporter. I'm not going to pull a Marcus and avoid his last fight. And I do believe that Manny will pull it out one more time. I'm not convinced. Look, Timothy Bradley has a fine future, but styles make fights, and Bradley has never been able to really figure out Pacquiao in 24 rounds. And I think another 12 rounds will go by, and Manny will get the decision. And Manny will ride off into the sunset, and Tim will still get big fights, you know, because he always does. I mean, Tim is a warrior. Tim's not afraid of anybody. But this is going to be another L in his column, and if he's able to pull it out, hey, good for him. But I do believe, despite what Freddie Roach says, that this will be the last time we see Manny Pacquiao in the ring.
It'll be interesting. We shall see, because he'd still be leaving a lot of money on the table.
Well, and
you know?
Remember, and another thing to point out, Pacquiao is a Filipino congressman now. He's actually running for the Filipino Senate. And from what I understand, the Senate takes a lot more time in the Philippines than it does to be a congressman. So that is, if he wins the election, I don't see him in the ring again. You know, of course, we're not over there. We don't know how the things are going. But and I know it's dreadful to believe to take a boxer at his word, but Manny Pacquiao has never been one to waffle on decisions. He's never been one to say, I'm retiring and then I'm coming back. And I believe him. I think this will be the last time we see him. And I you know, that's just my opinion.
That's true. Most fighters that retire, it's not like they're like, well, I'm, you know, it's idle time that gets them back in the ring. And
yeah.
And there's no juice like, you know, beating, you know, like winning and having a whole crowd cheering you on in the middle of a fight. But running a country, you know, being a senator, I think there's only like 9 of them or something like that, and
right.
That's why his job would be, you know, really intense. You know, I mean, nobody's ever turned into, well, I have this option of running my country, you know. I agree with you. I mean, there's money and then there's power, and money can't generally buy power. So
no, and, you know, normally, Gabe, you cannot believe a boxer when he says he's going to retire. But I think in this case, he means what he says, and Bob Arum and Freddie Roach need to move on and realize that their number one cash cow is leaving the business, and they need to concentrate on, you know, building somebody up like Terrence Crawford. I hope Crawford and Postol gets made. I still believe that Terrence should have gotten this opportunity. But,
agreed.
You know, it is what it is. You know, Manny has the power to call his shots, and this is what he decided to do. As far as Joshua and Martin, it comes down to money. Remember, guys, for those that don't know, Martin got offered $5 million to punch his passport and go over there. And he's going over there to basically leave the title, because I don't see any way possible that Charles Martin is going to come back to the U.S. with the IBF heavyweight title. I think Joshua is going to win that title and hold it hostage over there for quite a while.
Robbie,
yep.
I'll say this again. With what they are paying Charles Martin, unless Eddie Hearn is trying to set up Joshua because he's going to leave him, which I don't think that's the case, there's no way that he's paying that type of price tag on a 50-50 fight. He believes in his own mind, no matter what he says this week in the lead-up, he thinks he has the overwhelming favorite. And you know what? I agree. He does.
I don't see any way that Charles Martin leaves the UK with that belt. I think he's going in there, and I think it's set up for him to lose. And I think Joshua will continue his knockout streak, and I think it'll be done rather early, like third, fourth round maybe.
Robbie, you're on the record. Anything else?
No, guys. Good fight week, and good fights coming up, and I think the pay-per-view is going to be interesting to watch because I think all those fights on that undercard, they each have something to offer. So, and I don't think the numbers are going to do very well. I predicted earlier today when I did my own show that it's probably going to do only 300,000 to 350,000. So I don't expect this pay-per-view to do well, just like the ticket sales.
Robbie, you may be on to something. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
347-215-7598. Later on, we'll have the fight review, and we'll go through some news and notes. Gabe?
I think the lead into my birthday next year, I'm going to have to drink for like the first the month before just to kind of build up my tolerance. I am a shot fighter today. 5-1-0. You're alive on the next round. 5-1-0? 5-1-0? I still got it. I got it knocked down. Let's see. 8-4-3, you're alive on the next round. 8-4-3? Wow, I am just killing them today. All right. In the 209, this might be David Duenas. You're live on the next round. 209.
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Sorry, guys. I was just tuning in and all that. I'm over here cooking dinner and all that. But, okay, so since I'm on, I guess I should come up with something to talk about, right? So,
what's
you know,
up, man?
Here's my thing is that, so, everybody's, like, counting out Manny Pacquiao. They're saying he's on his way out. They're thinking about retirement. Guys, I got to ask you guys a question. Is he slipping that bad that we're looking at Manny looking at retirement? I just don't see it. And, you know, the thing with, like, Timothy Bradley, okay, this is a guy that I've always advocated for. This is a guy that I've always been a fan. He's one of my first guests on Leaving the Ring. And I've never betted against the guy. But at the same time, there's a fighter that always has somebody they just can't get over the hump. Oscar De La Hoya had a Shane Mosley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that Timothy Bradley just has this Manny Pacquiao. I just can't see him beating Manny because of the volume of punches that he throws. Timothy is great with guys that are kind of, you know, always looking to land the big punch. But Manny's one of those guys that lands the 4 to 6 punches when he's available to do it. And
well, he used to. David, are you sure that guy exists anymore?
I haven't seen him slip as much as what you would look at other guys in the sport right now that have slipped down the hill. I think Manny's maybe halfway down that hill, but he's not all the way down where you can count him out. I just don't see that.
I don't know. I think a lot of the times when we say Manny Pacquiao can do this, he does that. Gabe, isn't that in the past tense?
Well, I'm curious about is these sparring sessions. The people saying he was just getting hit a little bit more, or is it that Manny is not training with the same zest? You know, that's what I mean. You could watch him and he'd have that up tempo style and was just a beast. But if he's
How
not doing that,
I've heard that though. How many times have you heard that? You know that Manny doesn't train with the same zest. He's not the same beast, you know. I think it's fair to say that the guy just, you know, he trains enough to get by, but when it comes to fight night, you know, he tends to show up at least enough to get his win. I'm just not. I just can't count him out just yet. And I don't. I just can't fall into that whole, you know, he's going to retire after this. There's just, like you said earlier, Gabriel, there's just too much money on the table. Way too much money, you know. And, you know, Timothy Bradley, he's a great warrior. You know, I like to see Timothy move on. Win or lose, I think the guy has every right to fight everybody that's in the elite division so he can make that big money. You know, I mean, I think he's been waiting to be the big star. He's not that star yet. Now there's talks about, what, Crawford being the next star. You know, what's this messed up for him? Because he's fought everybody and every, you know, and every obstacle everybody's put in front of him, he's jumped over. But that's my opinion.
Who do you like in Joshua Martin?
You know, I still like Joshua. Martin, I think that, God, there's not much to think about the guy right now. You know, I know I know you and Felipe and a couple of the folks have told me that he could be a much better fight back then. I just don't see it, unfortunately. I just really don't see it, you know. And, you know, what does Joshua do after this? If he gets the win, what happens?
Oh, he'll take as many soft defenses as possible. He'll almost be treated like a champion who's a prospect, but he'll be more well-protected than a Fabergé egg, and they're just going to make a lot of money. He'll be like a walking 6'5" muscular ATM.
Well, I guess Eddie Hearns would be the Willy Wonka of the Golden Age then, right? You know?
Yeah.
So, hey, guys, great show as always, man. The number one boxing podcast right now in the world. The next round, Steve Kim, Gabriel Montoya. You guys keep it up, man. I wasn't expecting to be patched in. I was just listening. I'm over here cooking away for the family and all that, and then you guys just kind of cough, you know, off guard. So my question was kind of off the wall.
All right.
You go.
Thanks a lot, David.
Right,
enjoy your Monday night. 347-215-7598. Gabe, anyone else on the line?
Yeah, let's pull in Nacho here. Nacho, you're on the next round. I think it's Nacho. 805.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, hey, guys, man. What's up, Steve? I've been a big fan for a long time, man.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, you know, one of the by listening to you, one of the columns I used to love reading, man, when I was growing up as a kid was, I think his name was Alan Malamud.
Alan Malamud, Notes on a Scorecard, truly a Los Angeles legend.
Wasn't that just the greatest column? It was only a few times a week, but, I mean, I look forward to it big time.
Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I believe. He was a big boxing guy, too.
Yeah, he was. And you and Heisler, man, you three, I always enjoyed reading.
Whoa! That is high praise. It really is. I'm flattered by that. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. But, you know, I wanted to say, you know, as far as Pacquiao goes, to me, guys, it's like history tells us you start at that low of a weight and you move up as much as he has. I know he was in his team, but, I mean, it's like, you know, in boxing, too, it's overnight. It's not gradual. He's going to show up one night, and it's any fight now. He's going to be done.
You know what? That's what I'm banking on. There just comes to a point where, at your best, you're like this raging inferno. That flame is hot. But then, as the course of time, you start getting to a certain age, it dulls into just a regular flame, and then just a flicker, and then it's out.
You bet. And history tells us, especially, like I say, at these weights, I mean, heavyweights can fold off into their 40s, but, you know, he started as, what, a straw weight?
And I believe he started off in the mid to late 90s. I mean, he's been around this is his 20th year as a professional prize fighter. In any generation, that is a very, very long career.
And he's been in wars. It's not like he's had
especially the little guys. You know, that's ancient. To be what 37, and he's got, you know, a ton of fights. I mean, what, 58, 59 fights? That's a lot.
It's a ton of fights, and it's not like his style has preserved him. He's been in wars, man. And I also think, guys, like, the reason why Crawford didn't get the fight is because Crawford would have wrecked him, you know, and I hate to say that about Pacquiao. He's a legend. You know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, all that stuff. But, man, Crawford would have got him, man. If Crawford's a young lion, he would have got him. And Aram knows that, and that's why he didn't get the fight.
I don't
disagree. Manny knew what time it is. And that, maybe that says something. But then again, it's like, we just finished fighting Floyd Mayweather. How about Terrence Crawford to come back again? Yeah, I don't think so. Correction, he's got 65 fights, 419 rounds.
Jeez.
Yeah, 58% KO percentage. Yeah, I mean, he's 37 years old, and he turned pro in 1995, January. So it's been a while. You know, it is hard to – for me, I just – watching those two fights – you know, I wonder how much Bradley can change to turn things around. I just felt he was so undone in that second fight. But maybe he comes with something completely different. So Manny is not, you know, exactly Captain Adjustment. I'm still picking Manny, though.
I know, and that's it. I'm with you. After having said, my whole call has been about how Manny, any day now is done. I agree. I don't know if Bradley's the guy, but the thing is, too, guys, I just love the sport, and I'm absolutely going to buy the fight. You know, I feel, you know, I know I'm a sucker and all that, but I just, all these pay-per-views, that I buy them all, you know. It's just, I just love the sport, and they get away with murder because they do have people like ourselves. And another thing is the undercard's loaded, so that's why, you know, one of the big reasons why I don't feel as bad buying the fight.
I love this undercard. It's got kind of something for everybody. Good action, passing of the torches, you know, first big tests, title fight. You know, it's just got kind of everything. It is the kind of like card that I would throw a party around, you know?
Yeah. And they knew that, I think, when they put it together. But anyways, guys, this is a little cornball, man. Oh, by the way, man, isn't Robbie – man, Robbie sounds like such a nerd, but I just love him, man.
We all love Robbie.
You know,
I love,
mean,
Robbie,
like,
Javier, you know. Oh, Jimmy's Corner, the Prez. It's just, we got a motley crew here.
Yeah, I have the most, you know, like, best voice, you know, it's a little high pitch, all that. But just Robbie, man, it's like, man, he's just like that lovable nerd, man. But anyway, man, speaking of being nerdy, man, I got to give a big shout out to my Ninny, my Wee Wee, and Thump. And I'll let you all go. I'm a big fan, guys.
All right,
man.
Thank you very much. Speaking of Motley Crue, 347-215-7598. No shout out for a Pookie or Uncle Ray Ray, huh? Okay.
Yeah. What's going on? I've got about five more on there, plus those no answers, which might actually be answers. And I got to be honest, you know, I do theater and I do shows about boxing. It really doesn't get nerdier than that. 805, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. The fights this weekend, some pretty interesting results. Didn't think I'd see Anime get knocked out, but that was surprising to say the least.
I guess. He's near the end. That's another guy. You've had a great run. You meant a lot to the sport. Goodbye.
Seriously, hang it up. I was a little shocked because it seemed like he had kind of taken control. But, you know, and it was right at the last second of the round, it's like he almost just kind of let up the gas at the wrong time. And, you know, boom, that happens. But, he got caught, you know, but better than that than a bunch of beatings and you always, you know, go the decision and you can lie to yourself and say, give yourself a reason to keep fighting. Nothing's, you know, more final than a knockout.
True, and also what was the fight? Oh, the Callum Smith fight. Man, I mean, I didn't expect the other guy to be, you know, to go the distance, but I didn't think he was gonna blow the guy out in less than a round either. You guys think he's legit at this point, or is it just more the matchmaking?
Callum has some ability. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's there's still more tests. I mean, you know, when you put him in with a guy like, you know, McMouty, you know, I think I'm pronouncing his name right. You know, you're hoping to get rounds and your guy blows him out. Well, now, you know, you got to step it up just a little bit more and hope to get him even more, you know, battle tested. So we'll see. I think he's got some skills. You know, he's got some good size, obviously some good power, and the engine's strong. It's very aggressive, TV friendly. But I want to see him, you know, hit on the whiskers, want to see test his conditioning, and just be pushed a little bit more than I've seen him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and also I saw this story yesterday. Did you guys hear about that Puerto Rican guy that was a prospect at one time? Alex De Jesus, he got killed last night.
Jeez.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't hear
apparently.
That. Yikes.
Yeah, apparently he got into some sort of dispute with a family member, and somebody actually killed the guy last night.
Hmm.
That was pretty, yeah.
That's pretty grim.
So I was like, wow, yeah. And also, I had a question for you guys. Who holds the belt, the WBC belt? The BC belt at 130 is for Francisco Vargas, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you guys see the eliminator for the number one contender with Mickey Roman and some dude from Spain?
No,
I haven't
seen that yet.
No? Oh, well. He ended up beating the guy. He ended up knocking him out. So apparently he's the number one contender now.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you for the call. Give us a call next week, 347-215-7598. Gabe, at the top of the hour, we'll go through some news and notes and the fight review. Gabe?
Sanch. You are live on the next round.
Gentlemen.
3-2-3.
How are we doing?
What's up?
Good. What's going on?
What's going on, Steve? I really enjoyed your live tweet of Blue Chips. You know, we owe it to every college athlete. They should be paid at the Division I level.
You know what's funny? The ending of that movie where Nick Nolte has his big mea culpa, I got to tell you, that speech he gave, I think that is more poignant now than ever before. That movie really does stand the test of time.
Oh yeah, that monologue is that monologue for me is up there in all like the sports movies. It's an all time great scene right there. And Nick Nolte when he was sane and you know still churning out good work. And I really enjoyed that. I hate
so
to Spank, be.
Are you watching the fights this weekend? Are you taking time out of your jet set schedule to watch Pacquiao Bradley 3?
You know what, Steve? I don't know if this is going to surprise you. You or Gabe, you know, I consider myself refined like you gentlemen. Always the cynical realist. I do not want Tim Bradley to win, guys. I don't want to hear his mouth. I don't want to hear his manager wife's mouth. I don't want to hear Teddy Atlas.
Whoa.
I'm tired of them. I'm tired of Bradley. But I don't want to see... It's like one of those things like, okay, if Bradley can knock him out, then yeah, okay. But other than that, I'm going to watch. I want to see Ramirez on the undercard. It'll take some time. But I just, you know, we were talking about this last week, guys. Other than Kovalev and Crusher and maybe Chocolatito, I'm just missing what I used to get from boxing. Like even Manny, like you said, Steve, he doesn't have the fire no more. If he really had the fire, Manny would be fighting at 140 pounds right now, still knocking dudes out. He wouldn't be at welterweight, you know. Him, you know, he would have took that Terrence Crawford challenge in a heartbeat, that Manny from 2009, 2010, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when he was throwing 5-6 punch combinations and just bobbing and weaving out the way. So, I mean, Manny's fighting for his paycheck. Do I expect him – I don't think he's lost enough of step to where Bradley can even – beat him, you know. I mean, like the old adage says, as soon as the fighter gets in a little bit of a trouble, he reverts back to all his old teachings and all and everything that got him to the point where he got to. So I expect Pacquiao to win UD, and I expect him and Crawford to hook it up later on if Crawford gets past post-style. What do you think?
Bob has talked about that if Bradley beats Pacquiao, that a Crawford fight down the line would be something that they would definitely think of. It'd be an interesting fight. Listen, I want to see new fights. That's one of the biggest problems with Bradley Pacquiao, Gabe. None of us were asking for this again.
No. No, this is for them. You know, this isn't for us. You know, it's a storyline they thought they could sell. And, you know, the fights fights make fights, and fights sell fights. And we've seen this. And we didn't really like the first one all that much. We didn't think, you know, boxing fans didn't agree with the decision. It didn't light anything on fire. I'm with you. I'm not a big Teddy Atlas guy. So anything that reinforces his behavior, like a Tim Bradley win would, I'm against.
And you know what? Like the last caller said, like about Bradley deserving a star. Like, I'm not on that train. Like Bradley, until the Provodnikov fight, there's nothing that wowed you about Bradley. At least with Terrence Crawford, I like Terrence. Terrence Crawford has that dog in him. Terrence Crawford wants to hurt the other guy across the ring from him. You know, he has that nastiness. Remember, see, he has that nastiness about him. Kovalev, Golovkin. So they got that nastiness about them. I miss that in my fights. I've been more excited the last few months about MMA. I mean, like, damn. I'm more excited for fucking Diaz McGregor too. I mean, I'm gonna go to I'm going to the forum to see Triple G. I'm gonna watch the farce that's Canelo and Khan, but other than Kovalev fighting Ward and Golovkin Triple G, Golovkin Canelo, and maybe Crawford and Pacquiao or Crawford against any of the other guys, I'm like, I don't know what, you know, it's frustrating right now in boxing. It's very fucking frustrating.
I don't disagree. I really don't. I hope Pacquiao Bradley 3, I hope one of these two guys is diminished enough that we actually have a really good sustained fight.
And I'm happy with that, Steve. Like, if we get a brawl, a nice ebb and flow, I just want the drama back in boxing inside the ring. Not outside the fuck, unless it's AB. AB, stay the way you are.
Don't change.
Bowling.
Do not change ever.
Steve, imagine I would love to see Adrian Broner have a real trainer, one that got on his fucking ass and kept him fucking in shape and in the gym 24 7 like an old school fuck. He has talent and he's a showman, like what we want in boxing, but god damn it.
I don't know.
He just fucking...
Mike Stafford got him to where he was, though. He installed all that offense on him, taught him all those skills, you know. And it doesn't look like AB is exactly pushing himself to 100. So for me, I've spoken with Mike several times, I get a sense from him that just watching them, you know. I mean, who's going to control Adrian Broner, you know? I don't know.
True.
He could have shaved that beard and got down in weight, don't you think? He could have done something, a combination of running around the block, but he had no interest in it. And I found it interesting watching Dan Raphael grill him about not losing that extra quarter pound. And AB just said, you know, I already won that belt, on to the next, and didn't really care. And that attitude right there, one, Marvin Hagler's rolling over in his grave, but he's not even dead yet. But two, you know, that is the Haymanization of boxing, and that a guy like AB, who's now, I think, lost two titles on the scales, the four-division champion, he lost two of those belts by not making weight, and yet doesn't seem to care because he always gets big paychecks and always gets another shot, always gets to be on cable. I blame Espinoza. I blame Heyman for that, the people around him that are enabling him. You know, he's not going to change because why should he?
You're right. You guys, I agree. I just, there's potential to be made.
And this is not in defense of Adrian Broner, but he must have made up his mind right around that time, I'm never going to make 140, so maybe I don't need the belt anyway. And again, I'm not using that as justification for anything, but I do believe that might have been the quote-unquote thought process of Adrian Broner.
I think that's exactly what he was saying. He was like, you know, I already won it. I'm not going to fight at that weight. You know, screw it. And I'm probably going to jail. So I better go to 47 because I'm going to be out of the ring for a while. So,
I'd hate to have Gabe as my defense attorney.
Well, maybe not.
He'd be one of those guys. Yeah, that's what you'd call a public defender. Okay.
One more thing before I go, guys. Steve, who do you have tonight? Villanova or North Carolina?
You know what? I've actually watched a few of the Carolina games in that tournament. I love that big guy they have, Bryce Williams or Thompson, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. And I love their ball movement. I just think they have too many weapons, and I just couldn't take all the crying Jordan memes of UNC lost.
You had to go there, Steve. You're the social media guru for boxing.
It's what I do. I think Mario Lopez's head would explode if Carolina lost. Because all those crying Jordan memes, it's amazing. That thing has become as iconic as the Jumpman logo for
yes.
Jordan.
It's pretty funny. I like the Trump crying Jordan face. They put Jordan's face on Trump. It was just great.
Okay, gentlemen. You
French, thank you very
evening.
Much.
Bye, man.
Going on to the fight review, yeah, in Poland, Eric Molina ends the career of Tomasz Adamek in the 10th round. And on Udomas, Francisco Santana pitches a shutout against Ed Paredes. Gabe, Francisco Santana, you know who he reminds me of? As a fighter from a bygone generation. About 10, 15 years ago, Antonio Tono Diaz, who made a really nice living as a solid contender, got up to the upper echelon a few times, wasn't ever good enough to win. But you know what? Made some money, and he always gave us consistently good fights. I think Santana is Tono Diaz 2.0.
I like that comparison, yeah. I mean, he's got, four losses, but he's a guy that always brings it, is always competitive, always pushing the favorite to the edge. And he's not the biggest puncher in the world, but he's got good punches, good fundamentals, and he's just super aggressive, and you describe him in his column. He's just always a TV-friendly guy. And so, it's nice to see him, on the comeback trail and two in a row now. And let's step it up at some point. Do you know what the plan is with him?
Because they'd love to fight Jesse Vargas. But until they figure out what Vargas is going to do next, is he going to get Marquez? Is he going to get Cotto? Until they figure that out, I don't think there's a real definitive plan, to be honest. Gabe, this is what I'm hearing about ESPN and the PBC. Dan Rafael said a couple weeks ago that they're going to go in June, backing up their return from February, March to April, now to June. I'm hearing once that happens, they might do 7 or 8 shows in the summer. They just might go back-to-back-to-back as they play out this contract. So who knows what the future of boxing is for ESPN afterwards. But, Gabe, have you noticed it? And, again, maybe it's a case of not knowing what you have till it's gone, or does absence make the heart grow fonder? But, Gabe, there is a part of me and a lot of other fans, we miss the Friday Night Fight series, just being there. Good way to kick off your weekend, laugh at a few things. Fights weren't always that good. Teddy would rant and rave. They'd show highlights. You know what? I miss it.
Yeah, and I used to, be like, God, why are there such bad mismatches? But it was really like a peek into the club show developmental process, maybe a little bit step up from that. But you got to see the Blue Horizon. You got to see, the Sacramento the Memorial Auditorium. I went to, the Larios Vasquez, one of their fights there, one of the Fight of the Year candidate until I think Dottie Ward happened that weekend. Friday Night Fights, if I wanted to show somebody, I couldn't take them to a fight, but I wanted to give them kind of the ethos of what fight culture, boxing culture is, you put that on. Because, yeah, Teddy's going to give you that. Joe's going to give you that. It's just all right there for you. What happened? Why did Al hate Friday Night Fights so much that he bought it and threw it away? I don't understand.
Yeah.
ESPN, they went with new instead of tried and true, and look where it got them. They have only themselves to blame.
What's interesting is that Ryan Queter, who used to be the boxing czar, very short time before his job got cut, who basically let Heyman into the hen house, he said, at ESPN, we're not associating ourselves with minor league sports. That's kind of what boxing was with Friday Night Fights. Gabe, have you ever, turned on the channel guide for ESPN2 and see how much swimming, volleyball, arm wrestling,
curling,
fishing they show on the deuce? I mean, honestly, I almost felt as though that was a dishonest comment that he made.
Almost. It's a totally dishonest comment. I mean, they've made, like, you know, World's Strongest Man competition into
right.
something that people care about, right? You know, it doesn't – I mean, you know, all you have to do is watch First Take, or as I call it, Worst Take, to know that ESPN doesn't really care about their content. You know?
Whoa.
I mean,
Worst
they just
take.
Want clicks.
Whoa, no fan of Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith there, Mr.
Oh,
Montoya.
God. No, I mean, if you want to torture me like the guy from Clockwork Orange, you know, strap me down and make me watch those things, with unable to blink my eyes. I can't stand those guys, and they don't know anything about boxing. If Floyd's name's mentioned somehow, though, I think even today somebody was tweeting that they talked about it. You know, it's but to me, yeah, they didn't. How you can say that boxing is minor league? It's not like you're showing amateur fights. We actually do have a minor league. Completely dishonest, and you know. It is what it is. I mean, there's a reason why that guy doesn't have his job anymore.
347-215-7598. Gabe, let's get back to the phone lines.
All right, then. Let's just kick it right off with Jimmy's Corner.
Oh, here we go.
Gentlemen, what's going on tonight?
Nothing. Hang it in there.
Hey, can you hear me? First off,
loud and clear.
Hello?
Yes, loud and clear.
I was going to pitch to you, Jimmy. I always picture you as if you're on the payphone in the back of the bar. I'm just going to always picture you.
Oh, Jesus. That's some seedy shithole down in the mall right now. But, no, I'm putting aside, though, Pacquiao, dude, I'd rather brush my teeth with steel wool than give that fucking clown one more dollar of my money. Done. Hey, listen, I'll put him aside. Come on. And this is not just on Pacquiao. He's getting a lot of the by hate right now, which I have nothing but respect for what he did. But I can, like, you guys know my boy Mickey, right? You know how much money he was offered? He was offered more money after those three Arturo fights combined to come back to fight, obviously, because his name. And, like, you know, he's like, you know, I just straight asked him. He's like, nah, dude, I'm done. I'm done. What am I going to do? I'm not going to be, always said, I'm not going to be that dude who embarrasses himself with being just for payday. Listen, man, you want to live like a fucking rock star and pimp your Rolexes and think you're cool, and then when you realize what, says, hey, shit, we're running low. I'll just run over to America and get $8 million to fight a guy I've already beaten twice? Fuck you. After laying that turd in that punch bowl you laid last year, you know, to him and then to come back and say, well, give me more money. And then, you know what, if it was like, I'll fight him on HBO, I owe you guys one. But boxing more, listen, no sport will exacerbate and show so badly your deficiencies. Hockey, you can hide on a fucking shitty shift. Baseball, truck on the first base. Boxing exposes that. Manny Pacquiao is not going to get any better than how he's been fighting. In fact, he's going to get worse. And the fact that he's going to get worse, and in my opinion, he's already a shell of his former self, I'm done. And it's a shame because there's a ton of good fights. I wouldn't mind. But I'm not going to, because he's going to, no, I'm not going to talk it and not walk it. I'm not giving, no way am I buying that fight. So, yeah, that's my favorite.
Jimmy, with that being said, you obviously believe he's gone five steps backwards.
Yeah.
Will that be enough for Tim Bradley to beat him legitimately this time around?
Bradley should take him out. Bradley should take him out, and it has nothing to do with Atlas. No disrespect to anybody who's a fan of him. I met him on a couple of times. I've never seen such an inflated ego in my life. Oh, my God. The two times I met him, and I didn't talk to him. I was in the room and just to watch the way. I'm one of those students, so, you know, I kind of watch how people handle themselves. It says a lot, you know, about, especially when someone has a little fame, no matter how size, you know what I'm saying? Like how they treat other people. And I just saw the way he treated people on a couple of different occasions. And it wasn't nice, but I don't want to go on him. But yeah, I think he should take out Pac. I have no interest in it. I'm done because it all ties into the state of boxing, which is, this is just getting, like, disgusting. All right, can I ask you, how many people are going to go with Charles Martin? Because you know what he's doing. I don't know how many people are actually need to go sell the belt to Eddie Hearn. I mean, that's all he's doing. Greg Russell knows. He's a smart kid. He knows he wasn't going to hold on to that belt, and he put it up at highest bidder. And that was smart, and he's going to get his pay. But that's all that is. He's doing it deliberately to England, I mean, to the U.K., which those U.K. fighters, they got the best fans, I think, right now, combined, you know. But their fighters got to realize those are world titles. I mean, you got Saunders, who needs 18 months, but every chance he gets, he tries to attach his name to Triple G. It's like, come on, yeah, Canelo, I'm the middleweight champ, but you can only fight me 155. Are they going to fight this year? Of course not. It's probably not until next year. This whole thing is just that, I mean, do these boxers care about the legacy of this game? Because I
not
right now,
now. No. They don't.
They're not gaining any new fans. You talk to any young kids, I umpire baseball in the summer, you don't know anybody. Deontay Wilder is a handsome, articulate, he's a funny guy. That kid should be a household name, right? Remember Tyson Steve used to have to go shopping for, you know, suits in the middle of the night because he had paparazzi chasing him? Deontay Wilder just did it to 500,000 people on that Showtime card. That's a sin. It's just, and it just seems like nobody knows how to step on the brakes. Nobody knows, you know, the important figures. Bob Adams is a great guy, but he knows he's at the twilight. You know, it's just like, when is this going to stop? And
everybody
talks
shit about
it. It was a different time.
You know, it was a different time back then. Less choices. Less, you know, you didn't have 500 cable channels back in the day. And I think
ESPN has
done a lot to actually dilute things by giving us so many sports options and 24/7 sports, and it's not special anymore. You know, it's sort of like the PBC effect in that all of a sudden you had a ton of boxing, but it wasn't really leading anywhere with a storyline, and the fights weren't always great. So it was too much of a bunch of crap, you know, and it dulls it back.
100%. That could have come at the worst time after May 2nd. Then you're like, wow, at least it's going to be some, and then it was just one spoonful of shit after another spoonful of shit. And it was just like, and then because I'll tell you right now, and I'm a huge hockey fan, so I'm on a lot of hockey social media. There's no stronger, like nobody takes it viscerally like they do in boxing. These are the most die-hard, you know that. I mean, you just read Twitter to know that, but my point being, it's just like, instead of, I don't even know what the answer is. I really don't. But it's getting to the point now. Triple G becomes a target by the Flomos because of the people he fought. Steve, what's the eye test? What the eye test is, right, is if you're fighting the seventh-ranked guy and you're the literal champion or the best, you take him out in a fashion that says you're the number one, he's the seventh. And that's all Triple G does. Yeah, right now he'll be the first one to say. Your interview, by the way, was excellent. You asked Abel the other day, you asked him all the questions I'd asked. Seriously, how does he keep his head in the game and all that? But you know what? He goes out and he does what he's supposed to. He made Lemieux, who's not a chump, and no disrespect to him because he had the balls to get in there, but he made it look easy. That's the eye test. So for everybody with who he's fought, yeah, that's right, he hadn't, because all the supposed good guys won't fight him. So what he is doing is demolishing the guys he's supposed to. Unlike Broner, who took that seven-fisted Theophane Jarda 10 rounds. Oh, my God, dude. Sorry, going on a little bizarre.
Jimmy, would there be, and I think I'm asking a rhetorical question here. Do you have any interest in Broner Mayweather?
Dude. Oh, my God, man. I'll tell you right now, can you picture this to Ren Heyman's office drinking some $500 a shot scotch and the three of them are talking, listen, you guys should beef it up on the internet, you know, beef it up, getting this real big beef. Hey, listen, Broner, you need the fucking, and I'm telling you, dude, and they're laughing. You see, did you see when Floyd, first I didn't watch it live because I was watching the Friday night fights, but do you see him clapping? It was like WWE. Because Broner, if he was really mad, Broner's a very, like, remember when he was mad at Pauly because he didn't like Malignaggi because it's Malignaggi? But remember how he's, like, gets in his face? Every time you watch him mad at somebody, he has to, like, he was just sitting there and he wouldn't even look over his direction. I'm telling you, I don't buy it for a second. I think Floyd knows, because one thing Floyd is good at is hyping Floyd. And he knows he pissed off a lot of people. He might not act like he cares, but he knows. So what does he have to do? Okay, I'm not definitely going to fight anybody who I have a chance of losing. So I got to get some angle to get everybody right. And you can see, oh, yeah, man, they're really tweeting about it. Dan Reeve, you know, everybody's tweeting. It's like bullshit.
Nobody came out of May 2nd beloved and respected.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe you can look at them for their whole careers. But, you know, like boxing judges, you know, the consumer remembers the last thing they saw. And
exactly.
The last thing they saw,
and he knows he has
guys,
to do something. And I personally think this is all bullshit. I think he was mad about Broner getting in trouble. I think when he tweeted something out about that was just like, dude, you know what our plan is, guy. What are you trying to do? I promised you $20 million just to go spot around with me. But, you know what I mean? That's just, you know, my conspiracy theory. But, yeah, bro, I know you guys got other people lined up. Again, I read all your stuff, what you guys all week, and this is the best prod show by far. You guys don't hide from any bullshit. But, Steve, I hope it gets better, Gabe. I understand why you get pissed off. All right, guys, listen, I'll talk to you guys later, right?
All right. Jimmy Corner, the greatest segment of the next round. And Gabe, going back, I forgot to mention this. Don't know if you saw the card that I called Friday night with Beto Duran and Doug Fisher.
I did.
Edgar Valerio, I know he got hit a couple of times. I think he got a little careless. I really like this kid's tools.
Yeah, this kid is he's explosive. And I like the way you described it. His shots are kind of whipping. You know, he's got these long arms, and he knows how to just get explosive power out of the end of his shots. And I just, man, this kid, huge left that put the guy down. Love the aggression. Yeah, he needs to settle down a little bit, but he's early in his career, you know. So what is he, 6-0, four knockouts now. But you know, it's never a good sign when I think it was Beto was saying, well, his opponent is a CPA, and this is his first time fighting in the States. So, oh, this isn't going to end well for this guy. And the CPA needed CPR after that left. But
yeah,
I'll
tell you one thing.
He's a start quality.
Valerio punches with his legs and hips as
mm-hmm.
fighter. He creates a lot of leverage and torque in short spaces. And that's a hard thing to master for tall fighters who are in mid-range. But I want to see more and more of this kid. And Tino Avila pulls away late 10-round decision over Rene Alvarado. Gabe, who's next on the phone lines?
You know, I like that Joshua Franco kid that was on the card, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, that was definitely one for him, right? You know, but that rear right uppercut up the middle, my goodness. He just put the guy down, and I thought, you know, Lou Moret called it, you know, we don't need to see any more. You don't need to take any more shots. So that kid, you know, I've got Francos in my family, so I always get excited when I see a fighter with that name. And, I think that's a kid that's one to watch. Let's see. We got a couple more. 707, you're live on the next round. 707?
No. Nope. Or not.
954, you're live on the next round. 954.
Yo, Steve, Gabe, how you guys doing?
Good, what's going on?
Not too much. It's Sean from California.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Not
how you doing,
Sean? Hey, guys, I'm doing real good. Just about to roll up a doobie. Anyway.
Speakerphone. Classic. All right.
How do you like that? Anyway.
You know. The old ways are the best ways. That's what I say, Sean.
That's right. You know how it goes. Anyway, I missed the beginning of the show, so I'm sorry if I rehash. But I saw the Adrian Broner fight. Just wanted to say, I don't know what to even say about the kid's talent, but the most entertaining part of the fight was the post-fight interview. Would you agree?
Yes.
Didn't you hear? We all need to pat Adrian Broner on the back because he got arrested. He didn't make weight. He didn't do this and that, and he still showed up for the fight. Don't you just want to pat him on the back, Steve?
I gave him a standing ovation, and I really believe that he should win an ESPY for being basically the boxing version of Jim Valvano and just being an inspiration.
Yeah, I got to say, that really cracked me up. It really did.
The struggle is real.
And but you know what, though, guys? I don't know because a bunch of my, you know, I have a bunch of friends who aren't really into boxing, but they all knew AB was fighting. They were all asking me about it. So I guess he does move the needle in a little bit, but, you know, I don't want to hold the show up too much. I don't really have too much to say. So I'll keep listening, guys. Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Hey, puff, puff, pass. Enjoy.
Yeah, it's really honest. The honest truth is he's got to lick the joint.
He had better things on his mind and his plate.
Yeah, rub a little honey on it, by the way. It burns easier, nice and even. 517, you're live on the next round.
What's up, guys? You know what it is, the mayor.
The mayor, what's going on?
Hey, so I just want to touch on that Broner Floyd situation for a minute. I just give it up to Broner, you know. He did a very good job against Ashley Theopane. But at the same time, nobody asked you to beat somebody up for a couple grand that you're supposed to be about billions. Okay? And when are we going to learn to quit disrespecting Timothy Bradley, callers?
I
agree. All the callers keep calling in, talking this about Timothy Bradley. Now, Steve and Gabe, you both know. Every fight I call and I'll say Bradley's going to do this, he's going to do that. And I'm saying it again. You already have me on the record, so I'm going to say it again. Bradley is going to walk through Pacquiao because he's a fireman and he puts out fires.
No, but by walk through, are you saying stoppage?
I'm going to say stoppage around about 7-8 round, surprisingly, another body shot.
Huh. I would be stunned if he scored a stoppage.
Would you be? So
based on Bradley's history, yes.
I mean, but the new trainer, though, Steve, and Gabe, you got to say, you got to give it up to him. He's fighting a little smarter and a little wiser nowadays.
He might be, but again, Teddy can improve a lot of things. I don't think power is one of them. The real fight was standing.
I wouldn't say so much as the Brandon Rios. It's okay. It was Brandon Rios, you know, and a very probably the worst Brandon Rios we've ever seen, except for maybe one that really had to kill himself to make weight. I mean, this one he did, but he just looked like crap. So it's hard for me to say that Teddy improved him. I mean, you can work on things in a fight like that, but you know, usually it takes like 3 fights for everything to kind of settle in. Most trainers will say that, and this is what the second, right? So,
right.
I don't know. But you never know. Stranger things have happened, and Manny's been stopped to the body before, has he not?
Right. And I just say that because of the improvement that I see in Bradley, the movement and everything, you know, the angles that he's taking now. He's not just a bull rusher anymore. He's actually taking his time and placing his shots together now. So I just think in that aspect it's going to cause Manny some problems. Manny's going to look, I would say, similar to Manny. And, like, I'm a Pacquiao fan also, but I am a Bradley fan also. So I didn't ask for this fight, but I just think this fight is going to tell if he's really going to retire or not. And I think if he look good enough, then he's going to retire. But everybody think he's just going to beat Bradley. I beg to differ. I think Bradley has this one. I think Bradley goes on to fight Crawford. And in that fight right there, I think I would have to pick Bradley over experience, but I do like Crawford a lot also. So that's just my opinion.
Now, Mayor, this is the most important question of the week. Is LaMarcus going to at least come over with the 12-pack and watch the fight with you?
Actually, I'm going over to LaMarcus' house.
Okay. So he's buying the pay-per-view at least. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's getting the pay-per-view, and actually he was talking about getting one of our other friends to get it. I don't know. Nowadays, LaMarcus is being kind of a cheapskate, so we'll see. we'll see how that works, but...
Mayor, does LaMarcus throw a better pay-per-view party than Martin? Remember Martin, those episodes, every time he'd do a fight party, there were huge, like, disappointments?
No. LaMarcus' parties is off the chain, man.
Oh, okay, good.
The best macaroni you can ever have in your life. I'm telling you, LaMarcus' party is off the chain. And he has a bar, and he serves you. He takes care of his guests.
I feel like taking a flight to East Lansing now. Jeez.
Oh, definitely. He would love that. You come and hang out with us, Steve. We'll party it up, man.
All right. Mayor, I'll take a rain check on that.
I know that's right. Well, you guys take it easy and get me on the record with that, Bradley over Pacquiao. And
Mayor, you are on the Memorex. You're on the 8-track. You're on the record. Don't worry about that.
All right. As usual, guys, great show. Thanks for taking my call, and I look forward to hearing from you guys again next Monday.
Thank you very much. Right, so, Gabe, I guess we're going to wrap it up now. I find this amazing. We don't have that many calls. I think this is another indication that for Manny Pacquiao, people have moved on. And I tell you what's interesting, Gabe. I was there during the heyday at Wild Card. You know, whether I'm interviewing Manny, I stick around, or after I'm done working out on the weekends, there would be huge, huge, huge throngs of people just waiting to get a glimpse of Manny driving through the parking lot, just getting close to him. Throughout this camp, Gabe, that crowd had thinned out significantly.
Wow. I mean, it was like a religious figure or like a, you know, a political figure or something, or a movie star. People would be waiting at the front of the shopping center,
yeah,
on the street, and then people all in the back. And you know, they'd have that one public day where they would let all the fans in and see Manny. And it was insane. Media days. I dread them.
Oh.
You know, when I was working with you, I'd be the one to go cover media day because it was just, you know, unpleasant, super hot.
Gabe,
tiny room.
I was told that media day last week had maybe half the people as the last 6-7 years.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
You would think of farewell. I wonder if that speaks to that they're over him, or they don't believe that this is his last fight.
Yeah, or the backlash. Last week, last Saturday, 2 days ago, last Saturday that Manny's going to have before he takes off. Well, I'm working out, this and that. I'm speaking to some of the staff members, and they're a lot less stressed. And when Manny Pacquiao had a camp the last 7-8 years, there was a certain electricity and a certain buzz being at the wild card, even before Manny got there. But during the training camps, it felt different. This camp felt like any other day, every single day, and I go there about twice a week. What was very telling was, as I'm working the double end bag, one of the staff members of Wild Card comes over, start talking, and I say, hey, can I ask you a question? Has there been the electricity or the same vibe? Guy looks at me and says, Steve, think about it. Since you've been here, it was about 45 minutes at the time. He said, Steve, our phone hasn't rung once.
Oh, man.
It's over.
It's over. That's interesting. That place is just buzzing, particularly during Manny time. You could see the stress, everything weighing on everyone. You know, that is truly a trip. It's weird to be there at the beginning of the rise and fall of a crest like that. You know, it's going to be a long time before we see something like that up close.
Right. So, all right. So next week we'll be back to discuss it. So on behalf of David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya, this is Steve Kim saying till the next round. Goodbye, everybody.